Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Our subject is polypharmacy, the overuse of medication, multiple medications simultaneously. That's one of the themes that has recently been discussed by the Med Shadow Foundation, the founder of which, Suzanne Robati, is our guest today. And in part one, we talked a little bit about the three drugs that account for 60% of complications in seniors: blood thinners, and we talked about diabetes medications, and we talked about opioids and the inappropriateness of prescribing opioids for something as routine as back pain. Surely there are some instances where they're appropriate. But we got to be careful because we have an epidemic of opioid addiction. And besides, according to Sue, the research doesn't even bear out the long-term efficacy of these medications. You have short-term relief, but long-term, patients may be worse off in terms of their pain conditions. They're not addressing the underlying causes, correct?
Yes, exactly. Underlying cause is the goal. It should be the goal every time you go to the doctor to find out what's really the cause here, so that you're not just treating symptoms.
And you know, when I'm questioned about back pain, you know, people call this program, you know, when we have the call-in segments on my live radio program, about all manner of horrendous back pain. And it's very hard to tell them, you know, okay, take some fish oil, or, you know, take some magnesium, or, you know, take some curcumin, and, you know, it's going to go away. So I tend to look at back pain as an issue that really might be best addressed as a preventive issue, where, you know, what I'd like to see is back literacy programs started for kids early on. I really love the idea that, you know, sometimes I see kids doing kiddie yoga. They learn to do, you know, basic stretching. No, they're not doing, you know, all kinds of crazy contortions, but they learn about movement. They learn about strengthening their core. Unfortunately, what's happening in many schools these days is they're eliminating physical education entirely from the curriculum because they're too busy cramming facts into kids' heads, or maybe they're afraid of the liability when kids run around on a playground and bonk themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, the number I have is 70% of all adults experience disabling back pain at some point in their life. 70%. Obviously, the back is a weak point in our bodies, or maybe that's not obvious. Maybe what it is we just haven't taken care of it, as you suggest, and strengthened it from childhood onward.
Mm-hmm. And our lifestyles may actually create a propensity towards back problems. So, you know, I think some people suggest that sitting the degree to which we sit is really unnatural in terms of human evolution. I mean, yeah, we're designed to sit around a campfire, but we're also designed to engage in continuous movement, not sit in front of computer screens or TV screens, and sit virtually motionless for hours and hours with our spines contorted in a natural position.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but if I count back how many hours I've sat in a desk chair today, I'd be angry at myself. I should not let that happen, mm-hmm. but I do it day after day.
Okay, so, I mean, there are other modalities that are, I think, worth mentioning. Yoga, acupuncture, okay. Chiropractic has a claim to fame. I think there are actually studies that substantiate the benefits of those things, even though for a while, mainstream doctors would accuse acupuncturists and chiropractors of being quacks. But no, right. There are actually some studies that support the use of those modalities. I mean, I don't necessarily need to do studies because it seems to me pretty commonsensical that they could help.
Well, interestingly, you mentioned acupuncture, and I have always questioned acupuncture. They're sticking a needle in your body, you know, mm-hmm. and how is that? Do I really get the philosophy of that? I don't. However,
right.
I have herniated 3 discs in my upper spine and 3 in my lower spine.
Oh, my goodness.
In the course of time.
Yeah.
I know. And so I know from back pain. And I also know that I was given opioids when I herniated my upper spine. It was back in 2002. And It didn't touch the pain for me. Unfortunately, I did not get addicted, but they threw, you know, I had OxyContin and Percocet simultaneously prescribed to me. Yes, exactly. So I'm lucky to be sitting up today, frankly, but I still, of course, have to take, I do a lot of core strength work. I work with a trainer, who works on my shoulder to hip girdle, everything in there to keep it strong. But I still get some flare up with my back, and I went to an acupuncturist, and Dr. Noah Rubinstein, he's in New York, but you know, they're talented and well-trained acupuncturists all over America, all over the world. And I find a significant difference when I have some issues with my back because I've overdone it or I've underdone it and not exercised in frequently enough. I definitely find that I get some relief. And so I looked it up in, I looked up some research on it, and more and more research coming out that is supporting acupuncture. There's not as much support, research that I found supporting chiropractic, but I feel confident that we're going to find that it has a legitimate, strong place in our medical arsenal.
Indeed, and you know, given the alternative, which can have disastrous consequences, addiction and debilitation, and I mean, literally, some of these people are consigned to, if the medication doesn't kill them outright, they become depressed, out of the workforce, on disability. By the way, I think our disability costs in the United States are you know, up to, if I'm not mistaken, up to $100 billion a year. I mean, that's like one-tenth of our military budget.
Wow.
That, literally this can shorten people's lives because, you know, they might end up taking their lives.
Opioids will, for virtually everybody, create impaired judgment and decreased reaction time, which can lead to accidents. If you're driving, if you're even walking, you decreased reaction time, you're not going to be able to duck or move or get out of the way. For many people, opioids will cause headaches, and constipation is so common.
Yeah.
That there's
they've invented new medications.
Syndrome.
Yeah, yes. They've invented new medications. It's great. It's like we're going to fix the problem created by one drug with another drug.
Aha, hence polypharmacy.
Yes.
So if you instead treated the underlying back pain, you put up with the pain, it's not going to be a quick fix. I was immobilized for literally 4 weeks. I had very limited ability to move. It took a long time for it to resolve, but it did. And it's just something that is now something I have to take care of. And I don't think that that's asking too much of people to take responsibility for what they need to keep their body healthy. I don't think it's asking too much of people to say, you're going to have to put up with some significant discomfort for a while. I was with a good friend of mine over lunch a couple of weeks ago, and he said, we're meeting at lunch on a work day, and he said that he'd gotten a tooth pulled the day before, and he said, I'm thinking about taking another OxyContin, a half of one. I've already taken one, and it didn't hit, so I'm thinking about taking another one. And because my tooth hurts. And I said, wait a second, your tooth hurts. You went to work today. You're eating lunch with me. You're talking. You're functioning.
Right.
You
right.
don't need OxyContin. And he said, but my dentist gave me 30 pills.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah.
Like, okay. God, that's yeah. horrifying. So yeah. you know what? Tough love for me. I'm mean.
No. I agree. I think that we have a completely warped perception of, you know, when to pull the trigger on medications. But, you know, so coming back to the theme of polypharmacy, if you go to medshadow.org, there's a whole series of articles on that. And, you know, you point out, as you did in part one, the three drug categories that cause the most problem for seniors. But we also talk about potential conflicts between medication. So, you know, say you're taking 4, 5, 6 different medications. The permutations are endless. I mean, you would need an IBM supercomputer to figure out all the potential problems that could be created by, you know, so many different medications interacting with one another. I mean, just do the math on that. It's astronomical number of possibilities. So how do you protect yourself from polypharmacy, or how, you know, perhaps you were a daughter or a son or a spouse, and, you know, you're concerned that your loved one is being over-medicated. Well, what can you do?
Right. Well, let's just assume it's you, but this applies whether you're speaking on behalf of somebody else or anyone. Every time you go to any doctor, even your dentist wants to know every medicine that you're taking. They want to know every homeopathic medicine you're taking. They want to know every herbal supplement that you're taking. They want to know that you're taking vitamin D and calcium, because those all interact with
they
each
can,
other.
Yeah.
And yes, so they need to know everything. And when you fill a prescription, I know that a lot of people save money by filling prescription online or, online. And there are many health HMOs that almost require you to fill your drugs online. But I say fight that all you can. Your pharmacist, standing in front of your pharmacist, who has your complete record of what you're taking and have taken, is your best friend. It's your last chance. Before you can make do you know that adverse medical reactions are the number 4th cause of death in America?
Yes, that's an amazing statistic. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. I think it's cancer, heart disease, stroke, and then bang. Medications not even inappropriately prescribed, but appropriately prescribed medications.
Yeah, these are not people who are abusing drugs. These are people taking medicines the way they're supposed to. So, other things that you can do, when you're prescribed something new, ask your doctor not only why are you getting it, but might it make one of your other underlying conditions worse? Because if you're taking a drug that helps your heart, it might be very hard on your stomach. And if you tend to get ulcers or tend to have a nervous stomach, you want to know that before you start taking that drug and maybe find a different medicine. There's almost always another medicine to try. So try that. Ask if it's going to interact negatively with the other medications that you're taking, of course.
Okay, good advice. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You just want to find out what the side effects are likely to be. Do you know there are many doctors who don't want to tell you the side effects? So don't assume your doctor will tell you. Many doctors are afraid of the, not the placebo effects, but the nocebo effects.
Exactly.
See, if you know this drug is likely to give you a headache, then you might be more likely to think, oh, I have a headache.
It's pretty common for doctors to say, don't read up on the side effects of this medication. Do me a favor. Don't read up on the side effects. You know, you'll be fine. And if you think something's going on, then give me a call. But don't even, you know, for some people, frankly, they can be a little, shall we say, obsessive or hypochondriacal about the potential problems, and this may dissuade them from taking a medication that might be beneficial. But, you know, I say knowledge is power. Know what you're taking. Be alert to potential side effects. And, you know, trust the patient. And, you know, it's not their imagination that something's happening. All right, we need to pause briefly because we're going to get an announcement from one of our good sponsors. And when we return, more on the subject of polypharmacy and the Med Shadow Foundation. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com. Okay, Sue, so you say, you know, knowledge is power when it comes to getting a prescription and learning about the potential consequences of the medication. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Some of the things we talk about in our articles is when you've decided that you really do need to take a medicine, that and you have a side effect, first of all, you should assume that any new feeling you have, even if your doctor didn't mention it, is probably a side effect. And if it's disturbing, if it's keeping you from eating or sleeping or feeling comfortable, you should share it with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And another trick to do, it's not a trick, another piece of advice I give my friends is if you have the choice between drugs, take the older drug.
That's
a good one. Take the drug that's been out in the marketplace longer, because we just know more about it and we know more about how it interacts with other drugs.
Another way that I say that to patients is don't be the first kid on your block to try a brand new medication. Let it be out there, because there's this phenomenon of post-market testing. A lot of people think the drugs that are out there, they've been very, very carefully vetted with very extensive testing. But the testing may be on as few as a few hundred individuals, mostly men. And so sometimes that makes it unclear what the effects are on women, and women are just smaller men. And also these, you know, just because of the feasibility of it, you know, these studies don't last for years and years. These studies may last for a few weeks at most. And then you're placed on a medication which you take for months and years. And it may only emerge in post-marketing studies where they look at people who've been on the drug. How many drugs have been recalled that were approved? We think Vioxx, many, many drugs.
Bextra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bextra is another one. Yeah.
Exactly. There's a handful of truly very bad ones, but there's a lot of other drugs that are out there that are very concerning. You know, there's this a birth control device called Escher, just to get off the subject here, sorry.
Sure.
I'm not sure if you call it Escher or Escher. Do you mm-hmm. know which it is? It's an implantable device. It's a permanent birth control.
Is it under the skin or is it an IUD?
It's an IUD.
Okay.
But it's a permanent birth control device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not to be taken out again, or it's not intended to be taken out again.
Is it the copper one or is it the hormone one, the progesterone one?
It's a copper one.
Okay.
But it's not a hormone one. It doesn't release, I don't believe it releases hormones. I'm sorry. But the issue is it occasionally tends to unembed itself.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And wander around the body cavity and end up in odd places.
It's like, where'd it go? This is a crazy scenario. Is the doctor goes to examine you and says, gee, I thought you had an IUD. And you go, yeah, I do have an IUD. But the doctor says, for the life of me, I can't find it. It's like, where'd it go? You know, it literally migrated deep inside your body. Whoa.
And can cause pain and other fibroids. Yeah, fibroids it can cause you to grow fibroids and things like that. So it can be difficult. I mean, you know, Yaz birth control is increased risk of stroke by 70%.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful with that drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's we talk about some of these drugs, but really we focus much more on the drugs that the people do take, and you know, trying to make it, if you really do need to take it, try to make it time it so that it doesn't interrupt your sleep or eat it with food, or you know, just try basic things to so that it doesn't upset your life, it doesn't become the center of your life.
And speaking of which, do you think that psychiatric meds are oversold in this country? Because I mean, I read an alarming statistic was that fully one quarter of adult women in this country are taking some sort of antidepressant medication. Does that concern you?
It does concern me. It should concern anybody. I don't think people should be drugging their way through life. And again, cognitive behavioral therapy is just talking to a psychiatrist and psychologist, a trained mental health professional, has been so effective in making people feel better and more involved and more engaged. And drugs can be very helpful as a jump start. They can be very helpful, but if you're on it for years and years and years, it's, some drugs are very necessary for people, and some drugs are not, and it's something you should question. When you're on a drug every year you should be talking to your doctor about, should I still be on this drug? Should I try backing off of the drug?
Mm-hmm.
Should I try, you know, a slightly different version or a lower amount? One thing you do not ever want to do is just stop taking any drug that interacts with your brain, an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety. Don't ever just stop. You have to work with your doctor to get off it.
And here's what I've proposed, and it sounds like a ridiculous idea, maybe just a rhetorical point, but I've suggested that, you know, there are gastroenterologists and there are endocrinologists and there are cardiologists, all these subspecialties within medicine. And I think that there should be a subspecialty in medicine called iatrogenology. Iatrogenology. We know what iatrogenic means. Can you explain that?
Okay.
Well, iatrogenic, of course, means doctor caused. I mean, when you have an iatrogenic complication, you know, it means, so an iatrogenologist would be someone who, and I'm called upon to do this quite often, to look at a patient who's on multiple drugs and try and figure out, is there distress caused by their underlying conditions, or is there distress caused by their medications? And those doctors would be trained unprescribe, to unravel this Gordian knot of, you know, 5 or 7 or 8 different prescriptions, and safely take patients off medications that they don't need to be on. I've done this with countless patients where we started, it's like, in a way, like removing bricks from a wall or cans from a display in a supermarket. You got to be careful the whole thing doesn't topple down. But it's a skill that I think doctors should have, is to say, oh my goodness, this patient has, you know, been in the circuit of too many doctors and is on too many conflicting medications, and it's debilitating them. And learn how to unprescribe. That's my proposal anyway.
I think that's great. We need an easier word. I've seen that word in writing.
Yes.
Iatrogenic. That's a
right.
Hard word to say.
Yeah. We got to make it catchier than that. Unprescribing, I like. So, okay, great. So today's Intelligent Medicine Call to Action, the MedShadow Foundation, the website's medshadow.org. What can people find if they go there? And you know, you have a newsletter, right?
We do. You can subscribe to our newsletter. It will come to your email box every week, and it will tell you we publish at least one article and 2 blogs every week, and it can be on all sorts of topics. This week, we had an article on insomnia, particularly as it applies to women, because insomnia with women is a little bit different than insomnia with men. So we talk a little bit about how difficult the sleeping drugs are on your body. Mm-hmm. But we talk more about try these other things to be able to go to sleep naturally. And it's called sleep hygiene, but it's simple things like be careful when you're taking your medicine. Stop drinking alcohol and caffeinated drinks earlier. Don't take your computer to bed with you. Don't watch TV in bed.
That's a big one.
Many of these things are common sense things, but people skip them thinking it doesn't apply to them, and it does.
Okay, so, always good stuff. And, you know, and I get a lot of great ideas from your newsletter, and I appreciate you very much sharing with us the latest stuff you're doing. We'll invite you back as a frequent guest, because you're always, you guys at MedShadow are always digging up something new, and it's useful information to share with my audience. Thanks, Sue Rabbani, for your work, your leadership in this field. You're really making an impact that I think is significant.
Well, thank you. I love your podcast, and I'm proud to be on it. Thank you very much.
Okay, it's my pleasure. Thank you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.